Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 18. This is our Bowl Bonanza special, a little bit different taping schedule for us. So we're here. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So you have a nice holidays, Action?
Yeah, it was great. I was back in Indianapolis with the family. We celebrated the triplets' birthday.
Oh, nice.
Saw an acapella group called Straight No Chaser.
Ooh,
which
cool.
Was very interesting. Oh, yeah. And then went to the Colts game on Sunday and watched them pull out a nail biter against the New York Giants to keep their season alive.
Rabbit out of the hat there.
Other than that, it was a good time. Hung with the family quite a bit. Stepped away from gambling a little bit.
Wow.
Did a couple of NBA games on Christmas Day, but outside of that, really enjoy time with the family. How about you?
It's perfect. I had some good family time as well. Did the Maggie Daly Skate Ribbon on Saturday or Sunday, as I mentioned before the pod. That's an awesome thing here in Chicago, just a really cool spot. I had to wait 45 minutes to get on the ice, though.
Wow.
It's insane. Beautiful day. It's been a beautiful weekend and week in Chicago for the most part. I saw a couple of movies, saw Aquaman, saw Mary Poppins, saw some family. So did watch a little bit of football, but not as much as I normally do. Did have another good week, though, 4-1 for me betting. So got back on track, and the NFL was great, 3-0 again.
Wow, look at you. I had a pretty good weekend, too. Saturday afternoon, won a few NCAA football games. Army came in huge for us.
Yeah, you were all
70-14 final. And then actually flipped and jumped on Wake Forest Saturday morning, went against you, and they pulled out a victory, too. So Saturday was good. Gave a little bit back on Sunday. Lost a few teasers late in the day. But outside of that, it was a profitable weekend.
Hey, that's all we want is profit. That's what we're doing for you guys out there. Let's review the pod. We do have some legislative updates this week, or at least some kind of overall informational updates. We'll review our head-to-head from week 17 in the NFL and so on. We had a couple of takeaways for the NFL, not as much as normal. Jump into the football, college football recap. This is really a bowl-centric pod, but we're going to talk a lot about the New Year's Six and some also bowl games this weekend, what spots we're eyeing. We have some head-to-head spots as well. And then we'll talk a little bit about the NFL. This is a weird week, week 17, the last week of the regular season. And then we'll talk about some situational spots there before we jump into our college basketball. There's a couple of games we're looking at and review how we did there. And finally, we'll go back into our head-to-head and really kind of face off in some of these big football games this week, as well as an NBA mention. That's for Melissa out there. I know she's mad we don't talk about it enough. We got everything on the docket?
I think so, yeah. We're recording this on Friday morning, December 28th, in advance of the big Purdue-Auburn bowl game this afternoon.
That's right. I know you're on the edge of your seat. I like the Boilers in that game. So, all right, let's talk about the legislative update. What do we got for this NBC sportsbook information?
Saw a headline that NBC registered a couple of sports betting domain names on Friday, including NBCSportsbook.com and NBCSportsSportsbook.com, as well as a few other versions, NBC Sports Bet and NBC Sports Bets. So I thought that was kind of interesting that a national television channel like that would really register these domain names. I don't know if they're looking to get into the sports operating business or if they're just looking at it as a defensive play or what they're doing, but definitely something to monitor as these big corporations try to get their hands on the money.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get their hands on the cash. We haven't mentioned yet, but there was some federal movement as well on trying to intercede into all this stuff. So maybe they're kind of doing an advanced play, trying to get involved so they can have their own hand in the pot. So yeah, that's, I guess I was going to register NBC Sports Betting myself, so I guess they beat me to the punch.
They beat you to it.
The other update we have is West Virginia does have a mobile app now. It looks like you pulled something from the internet there, Action.
Yeah, on Thursday, West Virginia sports bettors got a late Christmas gift.
Nice.
With the launch of a mobile app. A couple of the sportsbook operators in the states, Wheeling Island Hotel Casino and Mardi Gras Casino and Resort, officially launched a mobile app this week. So West Virginia bettors can maybe lay the points or take the points with West Virginia against Syracuse this afternoon.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Is Greer playing? I don't think he's playing.
Greer is out, and the line has flipped all the way to Syracuse minus -3.
So disappointing. I love Will Greer. But yeah, well, that's interesting. I mean, those online apps that you see, they have it in New Jersey. I think that that's one of those things that it's the next wave that we'll see in these states that get legalized. So good for West Virginia for making the move and making that happen. It makes it a lot easier for those West Virginia bettors. I mean, if you've ever been to West Virginia, it's a mountainous place. Getting to those casinos may be difficult. It'll be a lot easier to be on the app.
Yeah, I imagine that wireless service is pretty horrible too, though, in some of those areas. So I don't know how that works. But those of us have been betting offshore for years, have mobile access. So it's really nothing new in terms of a lot of gamblers across the U.S., although now you'll be able to find just another out your hometown sportsbook.
That's right. That's right. That's great. Different lines there. Okay, well, let's go over our head-to-head from last week. We actually had an interesting week. It was a, 2-1-1 was our final total, I think.
That's right. Yeah, you took the crown last week.
Woohoo!
Barely.
Pull within one now. Action's up 33-32-3 now. Our first game was Thursday night. We were actually at O'Donovan's checking this out, watching. You came a little bit late. Texas Tech was dominating Duke pretty much the whole game. Duke was stymied on offense. I didn't see them have that normal free-flowing style. Duke was favored by 7. This was in Madison Square Garden, a neutral site game. And I don't know, Duke turned it on. At the end, they started hitting some threes, got to the foul line, and inexplicably covered this game. They won 69-58. I think they were down by 3 to 5 points all but the last 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I was so disappointed because I was stuck in an Uber, an 80-minute Uber ride from hell, going from one happy hour to another, and I missed the entirety of the game. But I read that Texas Tech was in control really throughout. At one point, Duke had missed 13 straight three-pointers, and Zion Williamson got into some foul trouble. But ultimately, they turned it on late and knocked in a couple of baskets and ended up winning the game 69-58. And although we had 7 in this, the head-to-head, I think I texted you I had Texas Tech plus 10.5 online. So the 11-point margin really beat me twice, unfortunately.
It did. Well, you know, what it tells you, though, is that you were on the right side, per se. It didn't work out. The Red Raiders are a good basketball team. You know, come tournament time, watch out for that team, especially when they get in the Big 12 regular season. So Kansas is going to have all they can deal with the Red Raiders.
Yep. That Texas Tech team really plays some serious defense, and I'm looking forward to watching them come through the conference season.
Then we went to the NFL. Now we had 3 games in the NFL that we picked last week. One was the beloved Bears. They were 4-point favorites on the road at San Francisco. Your 49ers were on a roll, winning 2 games in a row. This was one of the ugliest games out there, actually. It was not pretty. In fact, the Bears probably shouldn't even won the game, but they came through with some key plays. Trubisky made some plays and a lot of defensive plays in this game. They won 14-9 and got me the cover.
Yeah, San Francisco just didn't have much in the red zone, settled for 3 field goals, which ultimately stopped them from getting the cover there. And it looks like the Bears defense played well again. Danny Trevathan with a key interception late that sealed the cover for you.
It did. Finally saw the Bears play pretty good on the road. Now, granted, San Francisco is not a playoff caliber team, but hopefully that'll bode well for the playoffs. The next game was going to be the game of the day, and it kind of turned out to be that. The Steelers were at the Saints. The Saints were given laying 5.5 points in this one, the total at 53.5. This was one of those games early on I thought that total was going to be in jeopardy, right? But it was kind of an ugly football game. But the Steelers really should have won this game. They blew it late, and the Saints didn't get the cover. They won 31-28, but they did get the win.
Yeah. The Steelers really blew this one. A couple of late fumbles, one by the running back, and then also Juju Smith-Schuster, which came out and played for his fantasy players over the weekend. And the late fumble, boy, if he lost some fantasy games with that late fumble, can you imagine the blowback.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
But Mike Tomlin went for that fake field goal late in the game too, which ultimately cost them. And it must be said, though, there were some really questionable pass interference calls late in that game, which helped the Saints win
home cooking.
So that really brings the Steelers' playoff chances into serious jeopardy. And now they'll have to win this weekend and hope that Cleveland can knock off Baltimore just to make the playoffs.
That's right. After that big win against New England, they kind of crapped the bed there. They had a really good chance to win that game, and they could have controlled their own destiny. Now they're just going to have to scoreboard watch when they're playing the game. So the last game was Texans at Philly. You know, we both were right in this one. It was kind of a rough game. I tell you, you're right, though. Nick Foles, I guess they're just better with that guy in there. He threw for almost 500 yards. He had four touchdown passes. Philly was up by, 14, 16 points in this game at one time. Mm-hmm. Of course, typical, Deshaun Watson brought him back. That guy's a gamer. They actually took the lead, didn't they? They took the lead by one. I was watching it think, because I actually bet on this game independently, and I had the plus two as well. I had plus 2.5, so I actually won the game. But I was sitting there nail-biting, and then, of course, they kicked the field goal to get the win by 2 points, and we got a push in our head-to-head.
Yeah, Nick Foles won this game twice, I read. I was sitting at Lucas Oil Stadium, so I didn't get a chance to watch it. But it sounds like that he just brought them back from the dead twice and even had gotten knocked out a couple of plays during the game. So really an impressive performance by Nick Foles. And I think it must be said, he targets those wide receivers a lot more than Carson Wentz ever did. Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey get the ball a lot more from Nick Foles. Zach Ertz, obviously, is a huge target for them, too. So Philadelphia also with an outside chance to make the playoffs. Yep. They'll have to win this weekend over Washington and hope that your Chicago Bears knock off the Vikings.
That's right. A lot of good playoff scenarios we'll go over a little bit later. So in the takeaways for the NFL, it looks like the Side Action Pod went 4-0 this week. Awesome. You won the money line bet for Seattle. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I won the money line bet that I didn't talk about on air for the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, nice.
I actually put that one in. Mainly because I kind of bought into the narrative that Oakland was going to play for the fans in the last week, and Denver obviously stinks. I mean, Vance Joseph he's done. I don't know if he's going to be—he'll be fired, like, I guess, Monday morning, Black Monday, right? But they actually played really well and dominated the game, and they got their money line win too. So
yeah, so you and John Gruden are both on the same page, thinking the season ends in week 16?
I guess so. I would have loved to run down to the black hole and show them that number 4 for the fourth win of the season.
Yeah, after the game, Gruden came out and was so pumped about the win in the last game of the season. Unfortunately, he forgets that they have to play Kansas City this week.
Yeah, exactly. I think that may tell you something in terms of that game. But
foreshadowing for foreshadowing. Later.
Maybe he forgot there's week 17. He's been out of the league for a while. All right. Well, let's jump into the college football best bets going forward. You want to review what's going on so far up until this point with the favorites and such?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit last week, but the favorites jumped out to a supremely hot start, winning the first 8 bowl games outright and 7-1 against the spread.
Yeah, they went red hot.
Which is kind of backwards from years past, where usually the underdogs start out hot and the favorites come in later in bowl season.
Right.
Since then, though, it's flipped and the underdogs have been barking quite a bit, going 11-3 over the last few days, including a few outright upsets from Baylor, Wisconsin, Duke, Minnesota, Troy, and Wake Forest.
That's right.
So I'm going to be looking for that underdog strain to continue a little bit as we move toward this weekend and into New Year's Day.
And you have a key note here, and I heard this on VSiN on the way over here. Do not tease college football. Mm-hmm. The reason is that, as Action said, a lot of these upset winners, they just went outright. So you don't even need the tease, right?
Yep.
And if you're teasing the total, I guess most of the time if the favorite wins, they're just blowing their team out.
Yeah, the 10 favorites who have covered in these bowl games have done so by an average margin of 22 points.
All
so if you're teasing 7 or 6 or even 8-9, that's going to not help you at all. And just another point to hammer home that you should not be teasing college football games ever unless you really find a good spot of a 6-point favorite or 6-7 in that range. Tease them down to under a field goal. That might be the only time that you find some value.
Yeah, maybe it's an equal matchup, maybe in these playoffs, but I don't know if that's true either. So
also maybe some low totals here and there. Michigan and Florida comes to mind with this very low total and some other bowl games that are upcoming.
Okay. So what spots are you in this week in the bowl bonanza that we have here, actually?
Well, a couple of games I picked out. Going to run through them in order here a little bit, starting with the big Arizona Bowl.
Yeah. Probably I love this one.
The two biggest names left on the docket, Arkansas State versus Nevada.
Oh, man.
And the spread is Arkansas State +1 as of this morning, and the total in this game is 56. This game is going to be played in Tucson, Arizona, at the home of the Arizona Wildcats.
Mm-hmm.
And the Arkansas State Red Wolves are coming into this game very hot, having won 4 in a row and covering in all 4 games.
Okay.
Over the last 6, they're averaging 40 points per game and only giving up 17 points over the last 4.
Hmm.
They've got a very efficient offense led by their senior quarterback, Justice Hansen, who's thrown for over 3,000 yards and 27 touchdowns versus only 6 interceptions on the year.
Okay.
And I expect that this offense will have some success against Nevada Wolfpack this weekend. They're 25th in offensive efficiency and 50th in overall S&P Plus. Under their current coach, Nevada is 2-6 against the spread versus their non-conference opponents. And to boot, S&P Plus has this game at a margin of 4.9 points for Arkansas State, and they're getting a point here. So
big value.
I'm going to be betting on Arkansas State this weekend to cover this game and win.
You know, action finds these obscure games, so he's money in this case. I would stick with this angle. I personally won't be betting this particular game, but hey, man, might as well win if you can.
Yeah, it's a good one just to have on in the background as you're prepping for the semifinals Saturday morning.
That's right. The next one is Florida against Michigan. This is the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, Georgia. You've got Florida is their 6-point underdogs against Michigan. You know, Michigan obviously fell out of the playoff mix when they lost to Ohio State. And they've got a great defense, but you're on Florida in this one.
Yeah, this handicap really comes down to motivation.
Okay.
Michigan was one of the best teams in the country this year, going 10-2 and 6-6 against the spread. But they come off that huge, heartbreaking loss to Ohio State in the final game of the season, losing 62-39. That obviously crushed all of their hopes and dreams. They had eyes towards making the college football playoff and potentially going for a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have to come in and play in the Peach Bowl versus Florida.
Yeah.
Obviously a huge letdown for these kids. And it's shown, too, with several of the key Michigan starters planning to sit out this game.
Right.
Rashawn Gary, their all-world defensive lineman, is out. And
First-rounder.
The running back, Caron Higdon, has announced he's not going to play. And a linebacker, Devin Bush. So I like the Gators to rise up and win this game, cover the 6, potentially win the game. And I'll add, too, this is a revenge game for these Florida Gators they lost the opening game last year against Michigan 33-17. So add in that there's a low total, 51 points. I think that the +6 is even more valuable.
Okay.
And I think that Florida can cover this one pretty easily.
There's also some speculation that Harbaugh could be gone. You know, there's a lot of talk about he'll be up for NFL gigs. So we'll see. I like this spot. I don't, you know, I'm sad about the Khakis. We've been talking all season. I was not a believer, and then I was a believer, and then they crushed my spirit. So I got to agree with your analysis here that when they're going in a situation where they're not even playing in a New Year's Six Bowl, I believe they played Florida last year in a bowl game, right? That's the whole thing. It's the rematch. So it's just a big letdown. And then obviously sitting players is never good. So I'm on this one, action, as much as it makes me cry, Michigan maize and blue.
I'll also add that I do like the under in this game, but a much stronger play for me is on the first half.
Mm-hmm.
The total right now is 25.5, and it's an early start. So I think a lot of these kids will come out a little bit slow and sluggish in that first half especially, and I'm betting the 25.5 under.
All right. Sounds good. The next game you've got on here is Michigan State. They're getting 2.5 points against Oregon in Santa Clara.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite plays of the weekend. We've already seen that the Pac-12 has performed poorly here in bowl season. They've lost They're two bad. Games already, 0-2. And conversely, the Big Ten is looking strong already with a 2-0 start.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin and Minnesota both winning outright. Michigan State is rated as 2.5 points better than Oregon by the S&P+. But this line is showing that there's 5 points of value as they're getting 2.5 points. It's likely due to their poor offense, which is ranked 114th in rushing and 109th in passing. But this Spartans team under coach Mark D'Antonio has been 4-1 straight up in his last 5 bowl games.
Okay.
And I think that really shows that he knows how to prep for these games, given the extra time to prepare and his motivational prowess. They should have the Spartans ready to rock and roll on Monday. Quarterback Justin Herbert for Oregon did announce that he's coming back to school, so I think that may give them a little bit of a jolt here, but Michigan State is second ranked in defensive S&P Plus and has the number 2 ranked rush defense. They also have a pretty good secondary too, although Michigan State will be without one of his top corners, cornerback Justin Lane, who's sitting out to prep for the NFL.
Okay.
But I think this one's going to be a defensive slugfest, and I always like to side with the better defense in those games. So I'll take Michigan State.
Okay. Well, I like the angle against the Pac-12. It's been well documented. They're not very good in bowl games. Part of the gist is, you know, that non-conference schedule is pretty weak. Oregon usually plays outside of it. Michigan State's not that great, but at the same time, they've been running the gauntlet through the Big Ten. So I like that angle here, and especially if they're getting points. I mean, you got to take those points.
They may need to get some scores out of the defense, but I fully expect that's possible from the Spartans team.
I gotcha. All right. Well, one that we don't have listed on our sheet I like still is going against the Big Ten in this one. Iowa is playing Mississippi State. I like Mississippi State in this one. The SEC is obviously a really good conference, but Iowa kind of fizzled out down the stretch, and Mississippi State actually surged, in my opinion. Mississippi State's 7-point favorites in this game. They'll be playing on New Year's Day game. I like Mississippi State with those laying those points, and I don't think it's going to be that close, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, Mississippi State has a legit defensive line, and it kind of goes to show here with this total, too, being so low in the neighborhood of 42.5, it looks like, in some books. But I'll add that Iowa does have a good defensive line in their own right. And looking at the bet splits here, it's interesting to see that 62% of the bets are on Mississippi State laying those 7 points.
Okay.
A lot of money on the under in this one, though, I'm noticing. So,
Well, it's going to be a defensive battle, I guess. So we'll talk about a couple other games in the head-to-head, but let's go over the game we didn't discuss, the other semifinal matchup, Oklahoma against Alabama. Oklahoma's still getting 14 points. The total is 81. That's a nice high total. What do you think about this matchup action?
Yeah, actually, noticed the past couple of days that total has been hit a little bit towards the under. And has now trended down to 76.5 in some spots. I see a couple of 77s as well. So my first thought is to lean that direction. I think that Alabama is looking to come out and just hammer the ball, running the ball down Oklahoma's throats with the angle of trying to keep Kyler Murray and that offense off the field.
Right.
We know how good Alabama has been in first halves this year. So that's something that I would be maybe looking for as well. But I do think that Alabama is a stronger team, and I would lean towards them covering this big number.
Okay. For me, I think my angle in this game is I would look at that first half spread. I would bet Oklahoma in the first half spread. I don't know off the top of my head what it is. It'll probably be 7 or 8 given the overall spread. Okay, 7.5. Look at that. Look at this. I know what I'm doing now. I think Oklahoma is going to be competitive early. I think Alabama will do what they've been doing lately. I mean, the Citadel, they were tied at halftime. Georgia, they were losing. They're kind of, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a motivational thing. They need to kind of get up for it. Clearly, Saban's going to have his troops ready. But Oklahoma may be a different look than they've seen in the conference play, and I do believe adjustments will come in the second half. So to me, I would take Oklahoma in that 7.5 in the first half. I'd probably stay away from the 14, but still, I've heard a lot of experts say I mean, Oklahoma's going to be able to run with them. They just can't stop Alabama.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And I should note, too, that Tua came out this week in an interview and said that he's likely going to play, but might only be 80 or 85%. So that obviously is concerning if you're back in Alabama here against the spread. Although, of course, they could always go to Jalen Hurts again, which came through in the SEC championship.
Right. I think against this team, it offensively is not going to be the problem. Can they slow down that offense is really the key. All right. We'll review a couple more games in the head-to-head. They're kind of on the docket. So we're not done with college football here. So when we look at the NFL, week 17 in general, as we kind of noted, is just a weird week. It's the last week of the season, except for John Gruden's team. Apparently they're done. And I think that it really boils down to what the teams are playing for. I mean, if you're not having, maybe some guys have incentives in their contract to hit certain thresholds, that's possible. But for the most part, it's the playoff teams. And we can kind of go over those teams. I mean, basically, you're talking about Philly and Minnesota in the NFC. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, there are some seeding implications besides that. And then you've got your Colts playing the Tennessee Titans. That's obviously a win or get in game. And then you've got Baltimore playing Cleveland. They got to win that game to get in. Or, you know, obviously Steelers can steal it if the Ravens lose to Cleveland and then Steelers beat Cincinnati. So those are the kind of the key games that we're talking about.
Yeah, lots of interesting angles in Week 17. And like you mentioned, you really kind of have to look at the motivation for a lot of these teams. And also motivation in a half versus the other.
Sure.
You and I talked about earlier Chicago Bears playing on the road to Minnesota this mm-hmm. week. And Minnesota's laying 4.5 points. Matt Nagy has come out in the press here in town and said that he plans to play everybody mm-hmm. and go for the win. Obviously, you and I both know that Chicago needs the LA Rams to slip up against San Francisco if they have any hope of getting that 2 seed. And they do play at the same time, but I think that if come halftime or end of the first quarter, if they see that the Rams are up big, they're probably going to be pulling some of those starters. We may right. see some Chase Daniel in the second half. And I think that the only way to play this game is Chicago in the first half and Minnesota on the full game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be very interesting. And you have these situations across the league, too.
Right, right. What's weird about the Bears game in particular, if the Bears, I guess theoretically they could eliminate the Vikings, right? If they mm-hmm. beat them today, I mean, sorry, on Sunday, then Philly can jump them and they can take their spot. The problem is that you got to kind of factor this in. Philly's kind of hot right now. Do you really want to play Philly?
True.
Now, you're going to host the game, so that's good. Or you're going to basically get a good look at Minnesota, basically, like you said, play a decent first half and then rest your starters because you know you're going to play them the next week at home. It's an interesting scenario, to be honest with you, but I agree with you that I can't really see the Bears going all out, given the fact that they could probably play this team a week later.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, too. If they are planning to play each other again the next week, which mm-hmm. will happen if Minnesota mm-hmm. wins,
right?
Matt Nagy may be holding back a little bit in the playbook, too. You don't want to show your cards the week before you play in the biggest game of the year, the wild card playoff game.
Right.
Another thing that I would like to point out, too, in a lot of these games is it's probably a good weekend to sit around and live bet.
Oh, yeah.
Much like some of these bowl games, if there's a wave of momentum in these NFL games in Week 17, you're going to see teams lay down probably, mm-hmm. especially those that don't have much to play for. So if you see an angle where, say, the Denver Broncos get up early on the LA Chargers
sure.
and Kansas City is blowing out Oakland like we expect, then mm-hmm. it may be a good spot to continue laying some points with that team in live wagering.
Okay, good angle. So let's talk about, your biggest game of the weekend. The Colts are going to Tennessee. They're actually 3-point favorites on the road. Is that right?
Yep.
The total is 44.5. Basically, Andrew Luck hasn't lost to this team, right?
10-0. That's right.
So you got to wonder if what's going to hold up that streak, or is Tennessee going to actually rally to play? How do you see this game, actually?
Well, I like this game a lot. Both angles, there's obviously a ton of injury concerns on mm-hmm. both sides of the ball. Marcus Mariota is questionable with that stinger from last week. And I saw that Corey Davis popped up on the injury report yesterday with a hamstring.
That's right.
Colts have some injuries of their own with center Ryan Kelly going out against the Giants. Guard Mike Glowinski was out last week. And then tight end Eric Ebron picked up a concussion. Mm. Although he did practice yesterday, Thursday.
Okay.
I've been reading some reports that Mariota is a long shot to play.
And, yeah, I read that too.
There was a press conference earlier this week where he looked dejected and just beaten down. So I suspect that he may sit this one out. And even if he does play, he's obviously going to be limited.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Tennessee Titans are probably going to have a game plan which involves a lot of Derrick Henry mm-hmm. and Deion Lewis running the ball. And that plays right into the Colts defense hands.
Yeah, you've been pumping up the Colts. I mean, they're the fifth in rush defense, as you have noted. So, right. I mean, the Titans have been running the ball like crazy, but they're going to be running into the buzzsaw here. Mm-hmm. I also think the bottom line is, even with Mariota, you know, Luck is a better quarterback. And on the road, that's what you need to win these games. It's not just the 10-0 record. I think that when you look at it big picture, the Colts have won 8 of 9. Mm-hmm. They are really on a roll. Actually, they're a very dangerous team. As we discussed before the pod, there's a small chance if they win and the Texans lose that they take the division.
Yeah.
So they're actually playing for a home game effectively in this game if they can win this game. So
yeah, obviously they'll know the outcome of that Houston-Jacksonville game as they play at noon on Sunday. But regardless, they're still playing for a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be all over the Colts on Sunday. I've already laid the -3, and I also like the under a heck of a lot, 44.5. Okay. Like I mentioned, I think that there's going to be a lot of running in this game. Yep. And just with the implications of the playoffs on the line, it's going to be tight, and I expect that this game will come under.
Yeah, the playoffs are starting this week for these guys, so winner get in, winner go home, and it's exciting. It's a great game. Looks like you got another action angle here. You got the Kansas City is 7.5-point favorites in the first half versus the aforementioned John Gruden Oakland Raiders. Why do you like that angle?
Well, I mean, we already touched on it earlier. The Raiders have packed it in. Yeah. That was the end of their season last week. They got their victory, and Kansas City does have some to play for here this weekend. They need to win this game to lock up that number one seed and right. win the division over the LA Chargers. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that they're going to come out hot in the first half and just lay it on the Raiders. The 7.5 number is easily achievable. And they're also looking to seal that MVP for Patty Mahomes.
Patty Mahomes. Yeah, I agree with this. I think that Oakland basically played their quote-unquote Super Bowl last week. They laid it all on the lines for their fans, the black hole. They got their fourth win. Now they'll be looking for the draft already. And Kansas City basically doesn't have to play that hard in this one to get to that point. That 7.5 is not that big of a number. And then for the game, I mean, I don't Oakland will see what they do in the second half, but I think they're going to dominate. Kansas City's going to dominate this game.
Yeah. I'll be all over the Chiefs.
The other one you are noting, another one that doesn't really matter in playoff implications, is Arizona is at Seattle. Arizona's getting 14 points as a huge number. Seattle's already locked up their spot in the playoffs, as you've noted. And 14 is a big number, just period. Why do you like that angle specifically?
Well, I think that Seattle is probably going to be looking to rest some of their guys this weekend. And I've been betting on this Cardinals team a lot this year, and they haven't come through for me more than once. But I'm going to stick with them. And, you know, they're going to be playing for some pride this weekend. They do have a somewhat respectable defense. They're ranked 15th in defensive per DVOA. Mm-hmm. And they have a legitimate rush defense, which would help them shut down the Seahawks a little bit. And I just don't think that Seattle has any incentive to play for margin in this game.
Right.
They have to win to lock up that fifth seed, but I expect that they'll do that. And I think that Arizona can keep it close in a low-scoring game.
Okay. I like that action. It's the same thing that we've talked about before. There's motivational things on the line. Arizona doesn't really get anything by winning the game, but they actually don't really lose that much either. They're still right in that mix for the first pick. And Seattle is going to rest their troops because they got to get on the road and most likely play the Dallas team, right? Mm-hmm. I like that angle. One that we didn't note that I like is Miami is going to Buffalo. Miami lost their playoff hopes last week. I wish I got in this line earlier because the look-ahead line was 3.5, Buffalo being favored at home. Buffalo's been playing some pretty good football. So right now it's hovering between 4.5 and 5-point favorites. Miami going to Buffalo in week 17, that doesn't matter. It's going to be cold in Buffalo like it always is. Josh Allen and the boys are playing decent. I like the Bills in this game, so that's a game I'm definitely going to put some money on. What do you think about that, Aggie?
Yeah, I love this pick, too. Miami's going to be traveling north to Buffalo to play in the cold. Obviously, a warm weather team going up there historically has never performed that well.
Right.
And Josh Allen has been playing really well. Mm-hmm. Coach McDermott knows how to get this team prepared for football games, too, and I agree with you. I think this is a very solid pick.
All right.
Another spot that I didn't have mentioned on here, but I just like to touch on briefly, is the San Francisco and LA Rams total.
Okay.
Right now it's at 49. Some books, 48.5. And much like last week, I think that this game is going to be trending towards the under. The Rams have the 2 seed all but locked up and have no real incentive to run the score up. And it looks like Todd Gurley is going to be questionable again this week. So I'll be playing this game under the total.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think they'll have to score too many points against San Francisco, so I like that angle too. All right, let's transition into college hoops. We kind of review some of the side action picks. Not as good as the week before, but we went 5-3 over the holiday weekend, huh?
Yeah. Your overrated teams, Furman and Buffalo, both faded appropriately and both came out as winners on the LSU and Marquette side. So,
that's right.
Well done.
Sorry, guys. Paladins and Bulls. It's not that I don't like you. I just didn't believe in you, and I was right.
Marcus Howard was supreme, dropping 45 points against Buffalo, and 40 of those came in the second half.
Yeah, he got it done. Although one of my picks that didn't go the right way, as we discussed, Arizona State did get the win against number one Kansas at home. They did miss Azubuike, as you noted here. I didn't think they had it in them, but I guess they bounced back when they got home.
Yeah, it was a great performance by Arizona State on Saturday night. And I saw Bobby Hurley after the game and his press conference came out and said it was one of the greatest sporting moments of his life.
Whoa. So, and that guy won 2 titles.
Yeah. I thought that was incredible, too, that he said that.
But. He beat UNLV in the semifinals. Come on. Anyway, okay, sure. That's good. He's pumped up for his team. Uh-huh. Why don't you go over the Action NCAA Power Index for hoops this week?
Yeah, not a lot changed, although Duke's margin at the top is growing and growing ever larger. They're now a full 6 points better than number two UNC.
Dang, big.
So my national title bet against Mikey is looking stronger and stronger for his side.
He has Duke.
Yeah. Although it's a long season and you never know what could happen. North Carolina comes in at number two, although they're ranked 14 in the AP poll. I've got Michigan State third, Gonzaga 4, Virginia 5, Kansas dropped to 6, Michigan ranked 7, Texas Tech comes in at 8 off that strong performance against Duke, and then Virginia Tech at 9, and North Carolina State comes in at number 10. They come off a big win over Auburn last week.
Nice. One of the things I'm noting here is you've got obviously the two ACC teams at the top, but you got Virginia Tech and North Carolina State. I mean, ACC being loaded. And then you do have some, you know, you got Michigan and Michigan State in there. I mean, it's a little bit, ACC, I forgot Virginia there as well. So one of the things that changes in the college basketball season after the new year is then you're basically almost 100% conference play. So you've gotten to see a ton of these kind of showcase games, neutral court games. Those basically kind of disappear. There's a few here and there that come up. But for the most part, going forward, you really see these teams duking it out. What I would caution, not about the index per se, but as these teams play each other, I mean, Duke's going to play Virginia and Virginia Tech and North Carolina State. When you start looking at the records, you have to understand that they're going to start beating up on each other. So the metrics actually make more sense as you go forward than they do now, even, in my opinion. So as we start kind of going forward in the college basketball season, just keep that in mind because conferences are different and there's different strengths of these conferences.
Absolutely. A couple of things I wanted to note here just from the index. Virginia is extremely strong under team. I've been playing them under in almost every game and their defense is just so otherworldly.
Incredible.
That they just smother teams to death. And another thing that I've been noticing with my eyes here lately is that Michigan offense has been trending downward a little bit. They've played some tight games against opponents that they probably should be blowing out. So going forward here in the early part of the Big Ten season, I'm going to be looking to fade Michigan a little bit and see how that turns out.
All right. Exciting. We'll get a little bit deeper in there next week when we start looking at this once the college bowl season's over soon. What about the spot you're eyeing this week? It's an interesting spot. It's against your team.
Yeah, so another fade material team, unfortunately, is my Purdue Boilermakers. This is just one of the games I picked out this weekend. They're going to be facing Belmont this Saturday at home.
Okay.
And the Purdue team is highly rated in the metrics, but they've had some perplexing losses lately to Texas and Notre Dame last weekend in the Crossroads Classic and have been very unimpressive. They don't really have much talent that blows you away outside of Carson Edwards.
Right.
Although when he goes off, they obviously are a different team. But when teams are set up to defend him well, which I think Belmont is, that really makes Purdue one-dimensional, and they don't have anyone else that can step up and score the ball. So this Belmont team ranks solid 53rd in adjusted defense, mm-hmm. and they've got a couple of taller guards in 6'3 senior Kevin McLean and 6'2 freshman Grayson Murphy, who I think will be able to defend Carson Edwards a little bit and affect his shot lines. So I'm going to be taking Belmont plus 11 on Saturday, which is my projected spread in this game.
Cry a tear for the Boilers there. Belmont's always a good team, the Ohio Valley team that they're in the tournament every other year or something like that, almost always playing like Murray State or something for the championship. So they're used to big games. I like this pick. I mean, it's sad to see it as well because, as we've noted, I've noted in my picks almost every week that Purdue metrically is really good, mm-hmm. but their record's terrible. So it just must mean that they have lulls in the game when they let the team back in, or they can't hit free throws or something late to win games.
Yep. So that's the only spot we picked out this week. But as you mentioned, we'll be back next week strong as we roll into conference season.
Well, let's talk about the NBA note before we get into the head-to-head. You've got a big note about your Los Angeles Lakers. They've never been my Lakers. What do you got there?
Well, LeBron James went down on Christmas Day. I don't know if you caught the NBA games on Tuesday.
Yep.
But middle of the third quarter, he stretched for a ball and that groin spread out a little bit. And I think I even read his lips that he said something popped. So I did read a report, though, that the MRI came back fine. But it looks like that he's expected to miss a week or two of games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked about a number of times before the NBA spreads, when a star player goes out, they tend to shade the lines against that team. And typically those teams rise up and cover numbers. Mm-hmm. Evident here, the LA Lakers, during live betting, the Golden State Warriors were huge favorites to come back and win that game.
Sure.
And when LeBron went out, and LA actually stretched the lead behind a pretty strong play from Rajon Rondo. And then last night again, there was a big spread move against the Sacramento Kings, and mm-hmm. LA came in, and although they lost the game, they were able to cover the 4.5 points.
Yeah, Kuzma had a great game last night. I think that they have young talent on the team. There's a few guys that are, you know, ancient as well, like Rondo and stuff, but they have some talent on this team, and they can score. Maybe it'll be good for the Lakers because, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of take off the star, let them grow a little bit. It was their team last year before. So maybe you're right. I think the biggest thing is maybe you can get some value in the Lakers futures, right? Yeah, maybe dips perhaps, or something like that. So interesting note. But he is Superman. But I mean, at some point, age does come back and injuries start taking a toll.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a spring chicken.
All right, let's jump into the head-to-head. We've got a couple college football games and a couple pro games that we like. The first one is the national semifinals. We've got Notre Dame. They are 12.5-point underdogs against Clemson. The total is 56.5. I got to be honest with you. I like Clemson here. I've been on book and the book in Notre Dame Irish all year. They've won me plenty of money. But there's something about this Clemson team. I was saying before the pod, I kind of think that they might win the national title this year. I know that's blasphemy for those Alabama Tide fans, but this team has super talented. They've been playing crap teams in the ACC, but Notre Dame actually hasn't been playing that great, to be honest with you. And they play most of the same teams that Clemson does. They play almost like a pseudo ACC schedule, mm-hmm. and they haven't been blowing the teams out like Clemson has. I don't think Clemson's going to look past Notre Dame and that defense, and Dabo's going to have the Tigers playing really well. So I will lay the 12.5 and take Clemson.
Okay, well, I'm happy to go against you in this one. I think we touched on a few podcasts ago. I already bet on Notre Dame, mm-hmm. Plus 11.5, but now the line has risen up to 12.5, and I'll probably be hitting them again. There's not really a huge motivational edge on either side here, except for the fact that Notre Dame has a point to prove. The national media has come out and talked about how they've had all these huge losses in Power Six bowl games, namely that huge loss to Alabama in the national championship 5 or 6 years ago. So I think that Notre Dame is sitting back and reading all these headlines about the powerful Clemson team, and they're going to come ready to play. Clemson is obviously a tough opponent. They started the year 1-4 against the spread, including two close calls against Texas A&M and Syracuse, if mm-hmm. you remember. But since then, they have really turned it on, finishing the season 6-2 against the spread and an average margin of victory of 38 points.
Right.
However, when you look at that schedule, it kind of blows a hole in it a little bit because the ACC has been really down this year.
Yeah, really bad.
Only two of those opponents were in the top 40, NC State and South Carolina, and the rest were in the bottom hundreds of Division I. So I really don't think that Clemson has faced an offense quite like Ian Book and the Notre Dame Irish this year. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're going to have some success against Clemson. I don't know if you saw yesterday that all-world defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence is going to be suspended for this game because he failed a drug test and the B sample came back and that failed also. So he's going to be sitting out, and it looks like they're going to turn to senior Albert Huggins to take his spot, who was definitely a downgrade, not a bad player and by any means, but I think that Notre Dame's offensive line should be able to hold up well against the strong Clemson front, and I think Notre Dame can keep this close.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens. That's tomorrow at 3 o'clock Central. The other game we picked out is a New Year's Six Bowl game. It's LSU against my UCF Golden Knights. LSU is favored by 7.5 in this one. And the total is 55. What say you in this one, Action?
Well, I'm going to take LSU in this one. Coach Ed O always gets this team motivated. I think that watching them play year over year, there's one thing you can say about this LSU Tigers team is that they always show up.
Okay.
And I think that's going to be very contrary to what Auburn did last year in this New Year's Six game. And although LSU doesn't have a ton of talent on offense, I know we've hit on that this entire year, UCF, remember, is going to be without that starting quarterback, Mackenzie Milton. And although LSU is going to be missing one of their top talented cornerbacks in Greedy Williams, I think that this defense can still bottle up UCF, and they should be able to cover this number, 7.5.
Okay, well, I'm purely going for the back-to-back national champions here.
The fake national champions.
They've already, as you said, they won the Armed Services Bowl too, right? That's what the tweet said. So look, I understand what you're saying. I think that LSU, we've talked about all season, they have a great defense. So we'll see if UCF can do what they usually do, which is just light up the scoreboard. I just think this team is, they're kind of like a team of destiny. They just keep playing. That they've got to show that they were supposed to be there in the either the Final Four or they extend it to an 8 playoff team format. And to me, they had that good scare against Memphis, which obviously they were getting housed in that game. And it was a home game, too. When they came back, I think they found something in the second half with their backup quarterback. And LSU has trouble scoring. So even if it's a low-scoring game and a push comes to shove, can LSU actually score on this team enough points to cover that 7.5? I don't think so. And to be honest with you, I'm going to probably do a money line bet on UCF because I think it'll be good value for me.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I know. Crazy.
I like it.
The next game we're going to talk about is in the NFL. It'll be a noon game here Central. Baltimore is going to be hosting Cleveland. Baltimore are 5.5-point favorites at home. The total is 40.5. Baltimore wins, and they win the AFC North. If they lose, then they have to hope that Pittsburgh also loses to keep their spot. What say you in this one, Action?
Well, I'm going to be taking this Baltimore Ravens team. Mm-hmm. They have been on an extreme tear lately. Lamar Jackson taking over the reins as quarterback, and I think we've touched on the past couple of weeks, this running game has been outstanding. They're averaging over 300 yards a game on the ground, and I think that they're going to be able to continue that success this week against Cleveland. We know the motivation that they have. They obviously have to win the game to win their division and make the playoffs.
Right.
And I think that you may point to Baker Mayfield and the strong offensive performances that Cleveland has had recently. Mm-hmm. This Baltimore defense is still ranked number one in DVOA, and I think that they're going to be able to bottle up Baker Mayfield. Much of that success has come against very poor defenses. They played Cincinnati twice, Denver on the road, and Atlanta over the last 6 weeks. But the one lone loss that they have is against another good defense in the Houston Texans. And I believe that Baltimore will be able to have some success against them this weekend and cover this number.
Okay. I do like Baltimore. They are at the top of my index every week in and week out. We've been talking about that. That defense is legit. They went to L.A. and kind of beat up the Chargers, to be honest with you. So I hear what you're saying, but Cleveland's playing different football than they did under Hugh Jackson. Thank God they fired that dude. They've won, what, 5 of 6 games. They're playing really loose and free football. And to me, I just think that they're going to make this game interesting. 5.5 is a big number, even though it's going to be a home game for Baltimore. And Cleveland's going to – it's kind of sending a message for next year, right? They actually have a little motivation that they can be in the mix for the division. They would love, I'm sure, to knock out Baltimore in the playoffs. I mean, this is kind of their motivation for the game. Obviously, they don't want the Steelers to make it, but – if they had a hand to knock out Baltimore, I mean, come on. Like, that's something to lead for next year and also to have a winning record. They would – yeah, we'd be 8-7-1, right?
Yeah.
They would have the first winning record in God knows how long for Cleveland. So, to me, there's enough motivation to keep this game close. I think 5.5 is just a little bit too big for it. But it should be a really fun game to watch.
Absolutely.
The last game is also a noon game, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. It's Jacksonville. They are playing at Houston. Jacksonville's getting 7 points on the road. The total is 40. Houston wins, and they still are in the mix for that 2 seed, I guess, if New England somehow loses. Mm-hmm. But they have to win the game. Otherwise, they could fall out of the division lead, right?
That's right.
So what side do you like in this one, Action?
I'm going to take Jacksonville Jaguars +7. Mm-hmm. This is really just pointing towards their motivation and my continued fate of the Houston Texans. Houston lost another weapon on Sunday with Demaryius Thomas going down with mm-hmm. that Achilles injury. And now it's going to allow the Jaguars defense to really focus on DeAndre Hopkins and shut him down.
Okay.
Lamar Miller is probably going to be back. And obviously we all know how good Deshaun Watson has been this year.
Right.
But I think that the Jaguars are going to be motivated to play hard in this game. Blake Bortles came back on Sunday, and it looked like that Jaguars team got a little bit of a motivational jolt from that, surprisingly.
Okay.
They played really well down the stretch against Miami. Granted, mm-hmm. I know that Miami is a poor team.
They're bad.
But I think the Jaguars are going to come out strong this weekend, and it's a serious low total of 40 points, which gives even more value to the full touchdown. And I think that Jacksonville can cover this number and possibly even win the game outright.
Interesting angle there. You know, I was always all over the Jags early in the season. Maybe this brings them back to glory here in the end of the season. But to me, there's no motivation for Jacksonville to play that great. They're not really going to knock Houston out of the playoffs or anything. So I do believe Houston, despite the injury to Thomas and also, you know, Miller's dinged up, I just don't see them allowing Jacksonville to score that many points. So to me, it's like, how many points is Jacksonville going to score in this game? Are they going to score 10? Can Houston score 17? Yeah, I think they can. So I don't really see Jacksonville scoring more than 10 points in this game. And so that's why, even though it's 7's a big number, especially for a second divisional matchup, I just can't see Jacksonville scoring. I think Miami stinks. I think that's why they won that game. It was kind of the battle of badness, and now you're going to see Houston's going to outclass the Jags, and they're going to win this game by more than that 7 points.
I hope not.
Okay, well, we've covered a lot here. We've ended up doing our normal total time. We covered a bunch of stuff from college football to college basketball and obviously the NFL, so hopefully it was enough to get you through the holiday season here. We got New Year's coming up and all these bowl games. We will tape next week. We got to decide when, but we will definitely tape next week and get you ready for maybe the NFL playoffs, I guess.
Yeah, national championship for
football. That'll be huge. So big weekend next weekend. And but continue to obviously follow us, tell your friends. We're still trying to build our following. We've got a little bit of a rise in listenership, so we appreciate that. Send in some questions. Hopefully you're focused back on betting. Maybe your fantasy season's over and you're looking to try to make some money some kind of other way. What do you think, Ashton?
Well, yeah, I mean, moving off the holidays, spending time with your family. I know a lot of you are be heading back home and maybe have some extra cash that you want to spend.
That's
so
right.
Certainly give us a listen here on the Side Action Podcast, and we can give you some advice to building your bankroll.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us. And just remember to follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me personally at Wegspool on Twitter and on Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
And stay safe out there over the New Year's holiday. And make sure you get an Uber, Lyft, rideshare. Definitely worth the money.
And Happy New Year, everybody.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.